Dude, what is up, man? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing good.
Good,
just,
dude.
You know, recovering from staring at the sun all day.
Dude, all right.
I didn't have the glasses, bro, but I couldn't help but looking. It wasn't full eclipse here. It was pretty dumb, but it was, you know, whatever. Maybe I should just put on some sunglasses because my eyes are burning right now. What's up,
dude? I need to send you the pictures I got last night, bro.
Oh, yeah, you got a good picture?
I got some bomb-ass pictures.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did. I waited until the clouds went over the sun, and then, like, heavy clouds, and then I zoomed in, and it was, like perfect. So I'll send you them over.
Ruined your camera, bitch.
Bro, I don't care. I'll get a new camera. It was so worth it. Did you know, by the way, that we forgot one of the most important things that I actually have on my notepad that I needed to mention yesterday? Josh Giddey's triple-double, bro.
11th of his career.
We forgot
like that,
to mention Josh Giddey's triple-double. How do we forget Josh Giddey's triple-double? We've been the biggest supporters of Josh Giddey on any podcast in Oklahoma City, and we dropped the ball on that shit,
you know,
bro.
Here's what happened,
my
bro.
Bad.
You know why? We were both watching the Hornets feed because of the way that the announcer was yelling and stuff, and they casually mentioned it, and then like it wasn't like a big deal to them. So... yeah, dude. And plus we got carried away with, like, we never really talk about the other teams. But this game, we're sitting here talking about like half the roster in, but yeah, Josh was great in this game. And I have a lot of hopes for what he's going to bring to the playoffs because he's really on a good groove right now. I've really been impressed with like just his overall game. A lot of people will focus on his shooting, which is really good, but it's also comes down to his shot selection, his pre-shot movements, where how he gets to where he's going, and his ability once he gets there to use his God-given natural advantages over other players. Some players have different advantages, and he's got his advantages, and he's found a way to really make them work for him. So, I mean, it's been really impressive. So, yeah, I mean, a triple-double for Josh is, you know, at this point, almost not a surprise. Now, this year has been less of them than we're used to. But, you know, when Shea sits out, we usually see these types of things from Josh, for sure.
Yeah, and Jace, 85-50, I will make sure we don't forget that again. That's that was a one-timer right there.
Yeah, that's called
the other
airballing
thing I want to say
layup.
In the comments before I throw you.
Airballing a layup, that was us.
We got some amazing comments on YouTube. We don't spend a lot of time talking about the YouTube comments because we get, you know, so many of them, typically 50, 60 that are up there. But Jeff Johnson said some really nice things to us. Mark, I know I sent it over to you, but the reality of it is that it just feels really good when we have guys like Jeff that stand up and you know, appreciate what Mark and I are doing. We do this for you guys. Obviously, Mark and I enjoy talking to each other. But the reality is that we look at you guys as the reason why we're still doing this, because otherwise it wouldn't be as fun. And having guys that throw it up there saying we appreciate you, you know, it's just nice, man. It feels really good. So thank you guys. And
yeah,
Mark,
I mean,
I know you got something to tell me. So,
well, I mean, I want to echo what you're saying there too, though, because, you know, now that everybody's talking about this team, the Thunder and what we've done is being a special rebuild. It's easy to forget, you know, how far we've come, but I really like to think that we were the ones who really, you know, progressed the dialogue on that and made sure that people weren't, you know, disparaging the team and the effort and what Sam Presti and Coach Dagnall and SGA were doing. So, you know, I read an article by Ramona Shelbourne this morning, and it was about SGA. I don't know if you read it, Dave. Talks a lot about his mom and everything. It's really good.
Something so good.
Very good. And the whole reference of what Shea did was, you know, from start to finish, he was a part of a rebuild. You know, he was the holdover from a previous generation. Him and Lou Dort were the only guys that really experienced that playoff run that are still around. And now they're leading. And I think, you know, we're all over the place. But I think what gets me the most excited right now is, like, there's this assumption that we're unproven playoff wise. But like, that's really not accurate. If you look at what Shea has done in, you know, the two playoff series that he's played in, right? Because I think he went seven games with the Warriors when he was with the Clippers, right? And toe-to-toe with, you know, an elite team and James Harden at his peak, or not at his peak, but near his peak when he was with Houston, you know, toe-to-toe for seven games with Chris Paul and Dort out there. And we saw Dort in those seven games become really the Dort that we've become accustomed to. We went into that series with Dort being a struggling shooter that the the word on Dort was leave him open, and, you know, he's a defensive-only player. And by the end of that series, the NBA knew if you didn't run somebody out at him, he was going to torch you, and he's gone on to prove that as a really consistent thing. And even if you run out of person now, he's been very good. And we can always remember the James Harden, defensive play to, you know, keep the season going was that block three-point shot on Dort after he had 30 points in that game seven. So this idea that we're unproven, last year in the play-in game, Josh Giddey put up 30 points against the Pelicans, who have played in the playoffs and won the play-in game the previous year. We played the Timberwolves in the play-in game. They went on to play in the playoffs, and we really, faced some adversity in that game. So, yeah, we have seen playoff basketball really relatively recently, and these guys have proven through some really incredible times. We know there it takes different sets of skills, but one of the things, and I'm just jumping around, Dave, but one of the things I love the most that I heard them talking about recently when you had the national TV broadcast, they talked about the 72 point loss against the Memphis Grizzlies and how Coach Daigneault said that you could not tell the difference between a regular loss and that loss in the way that the team responded in the locker room, the way that they responded within, practice. And that was something that we admired too. So this rebuild has had low moments, but in the totality,
sure,
the consistency to approach of starting every day like it's day one has been really impressive.
I think I go back to a lot of what Sam Presti said in the exit interviews and the beginning of the season interviews. He would preach, not preach, I hate using that word, but he would really talk about what was expected and not putting this team above what it needed to be, not trying to skip steps. And I think Sam is really proven that's what's happening at this moment. We're looking at a spot right now where we're going to be I would consider us a top four team in the league, right? I think that you would also have to consider us as not only a top four team in the league, but you would have to consider us as one of the best teams in the West, which is, it holds its weight. Yet we still have the 12th pick of this next draft. And I'm pretty sure it's going to solidify at number 12. That's crazy, bro. Like, what the fuck? So I keep going back to this and I keep on looking at it again and over and over and over again and seeing what Oklahoma City truly has right now. It's something that we can sit back and enjoy, right in front of our faces as this team is having success. But on the same sense is that we're always looking at the draft. We're always looking at, the players that are going to be looking at resetting their careers as a bench player. We're going to be always doing that now because this is different. This is different than anything we've ever seen. We still love the homegrown kids, but having a player like, Gordon Hayward, right, on this bench right now means a fucking shit ton, bro. It means it for the team, for focusing. He's been there before. He's gotten in deep playoff runs. He knows what it takes. And having a guy like that that's willing to take a seat on the bench to make this team better is exactly what needs to happen. And there's going to always be one or two players in the league that's going to need to do that. And as we get to the place where we get better, those players that are role players will become better. And guys like Josh Giddey that obviously just dominates the games right now, he's going to get better. Because what's happening with Josh is that everybody's spreading that floor, whether it's, spreading the floor for Chet, Josh, Shea, J-Dub, or even Isaiah Joe, like people are getting it. You spread that floor out, you pass the ball quickly around that horn, because how many times have we seen recently, Mark, especially the last few games, where the ball goes to one of the players and before we know it, it's like a second's gone off and the ball's on the opposite side of the court where it's touched everybody's hands on the court. That's our, for the Thunder. It's insane. It's how quickly it's like, bam, 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 bam. Five guys touch the ball and it's been 2.5 seconds. And now we get a wide open shot. It's impossible to guard. And nobody's able to sit there and say, oh yeah, yeah, if we play this type of defense, we can shut down the Thunder. No, because there's so many different levels to our offense. And it's so regimented that everybody knows exactly where to be, where to go, and who you're setting a screen on, or a fake screen, or a fade screen, or screen and curl. Like, there's so many aspects to it. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of trust. It comes back to Coach Degnall in a lot of ways. And, you know, it's something we've heard JJ Redick and LeBron talk about, you know, slightly, but you kind of get this impression that, you know, he's responsible for this offense. And yeah, the players like Shea have to go out there and play it, you know, Chet, Josh, J-Dub, but the way that they trust that the ball will find them in the right spots and that they don't necessarily have to go out and jack up shots. Like, you see this consistency with Shea scoring, you know, with efficiency. And it really comes down to understanding that, you know when your time is to take that shot. You know, the ball will find you in those right moments. If you trust it, then the defense will be in rotation. And if you're looking to attack, then you're going to find the right opportunities. And if you can force them to take away your first and second and third option, and you have that counter option that goes really, really deep, like Shea, like J-Dub, like Josh, like Dort, is that getting to that point now where, you know, he's starting to see defensive scheme for him and he's having to improve off of those things. And a lot of times we've seen in the NBA, you'll see a player and they come into the league and they have a certain skill set, and then that skill set kind of defines them because they play within the system. The system asks them to play a role. The role includes things like stand in the corner and shoot. And then you end up kind of stagnating players' careers. And then you see a team like the Thunder, where everybody's job is to touch the paint anytime they can get downhill. They want to spray it out. They want to finish if they can get advantage. They're looking to create matchup advantages, but they're not looking to then sit there and pound the rock like the old Mike D'Antoni matchup advantage thing. They're looking to attack and then get off of it if they can find a way to put the defense in a disadvantage, rotate the ball around the horn, and attack it again from a different angle. If you can do that 2, 3, 4 times in a possession, then you can usually find a wide open shot as long as you have offensive discipline. That's the type of stuff we're seeing. And that's why at this point, teams are really starting to scheme and really try to find ways to give us different looks, like zone defenses that won't find their teams in, you know, cross matchups and scrambles and, you know, things like that 3 or 4 times possession. If you play a zone, then it kind of negates those types of things. And so people are trying to figure out how to defend these actions. LeBron supposedly has a secret sauce. We'll find out if we see the Lakers in the playoffs.
Yeah, but LeBron may have a secret sauce, but the reality is that how many games can they like uphold that? How many games can they execute that? And that's what it comes down to, is that that's why when Mark and I look at this team, we start to realize that this team, this Thunder team, isn't like anything else we've ever seen in the playoffs before. People will say, oh, this team is very much like them and they dropped out of the playoffs quickly. And we get that. But we look at this team and we see the different angles that they can attack at from different players. And I stop and I wonder how many times we've ever seen a team that's going to be this talented going into the playoffs at this young of an age. And it's never. We've never seen a team. So for us, it's all about, you know, believing in this team and speaking confidence about this team. And people will say, well, you shouldn't be telling people that this team should win a championship this year because it shouldn't come true. And I understand what you're saying, but I respectfully disagree. If this team is capable of winning a championship, shouldn't they know in their heads that they're capable of winning a championship? Shouldn't their swagger tell you that they're capable of winning a championship? So why not feed them this? Why not tell them that they're ready? Because they are. If you're a top 4 team in the league, you're fucking ready. They're a top 4 team in the league and they're ready. And I keep on looking back and I keep on trying to break down what's happening in Oklahoma City and saying, could this truly be a year that we see Oklahoma City in the finals? And I keep on looking at it. I'm like, okay, what do we need? We need a bench. Good. We need to play defense. Good. We're top 5. We need to play offense. Great. We're top 5. We need to have a great system in our offense and defensive scheme. Done. We need an MVP caliber player. Done. We need guys that can shoot 40% from the 3-point line. Oh yeah, we've got a whole team that does that. So what are we talking about, guys? Are we talking about the refs aren't going to call fouls for us? You know what? Fuck that shit. We're going to demand respect from the refs. If we don't get respect from the refs, we're going to move on. right? We're not going to sit there and moil in it and try to get all these calls to go our way. No, we will move on. Coach D will stop talking about it. Sam Presti will stop talking about the bad refs. SGA, Lou Dort, everybody on the team will move on from it, and they'll prove to the refs, they'll prove to the rest of the NBA that they belong, because that's the only way. You're not going to be getting anywhere if you're a whiny little child about everything. You're just not. That's the difference between this team and most other teams that are in this situation that are young, is they don't have the maturity. They don't have the desire. They don't have the need to fucking win at all costs. And we look at this team and you say, does Chet have that? Yes. Does Josh Giddey have that? Oh, fuck yes. He's got that killer instinct in big games. You know he's going to be coming out. You know, SGA, yes, killer instinct, right? J-Dub, no doubt that dude has killer instinct. So what are we talking about? Are we seriously, people out there still talking about this team having a first round exit? No, they are, but they're fucking wrong. And that's what we need to be telling them.
Yeah, this kind of reminds me of when we were canoeing in Alaska and we're getting ready to go down the Kenai River. And some locals came up and said, hey, I've always wanted to go canoeing down the Kenai. You got any advice for us? And we're like, no, we've never done it either. So we'll tell you once we get down to the bottom of the river. I feel like that's kind of the situation here with this right now. We'll tell you guys how it feels afterwards, but right now we're pretty excited. We've got some, got some butterflies in our stomach. We know we're going to hit some rapids. It's going to get gnarly out there. People are going to lose their seats. But in the end, as long as you keep your ass in the canoe, guys, we're going to have the ride of your life. I promise you, it's going to be one hell of a trip.
Dude, I got to say is, Adam, I know you listen to our podcast from time to time, but when we were hitting that first rapids, man, and I took the wrong angle, right? Because I was looking at it and I just, you know, I should have been smarter about it. I got the wrong angle, got in the swirl. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, when you're going like 2 miles an hour down the rapids, then all of a sudden the swirl stops you and puts you in backwards, you'd think your life's over. One thing I screamed is put your ass in the seat. And that's truly how I fucking feel right now. Is anybody out there that's saying this team's not ready, this team's not ready, anybody that thinks that they don't have enough of what it takes to win a championship, I got to say is sit your ass in the seat. Don't fucking move and just watch what's about to happen in Oklahoma City, because this is unlike anything else we've ever seen.
And you don't want to go swimming in glacier water or anything.
I mean, some people do, but I mean,
I still remember when we got down to the bottom of that rapid.
My balls hurt when they shrink up that much, bro.
Dude, when we got down to the bottom of the rapids and we took some shots, smoked some blunts, and that was pretty special. Right, that was the end of the trip, dude. So we'll have to talk more about some of the things that we did in between. But you know, shout out Alaska,
man. We loved Adam. Shout out Mark Meredith, and I. Dude. Mark and I have. Yeah, dude. Arrow, bro.
Arrow is
the king, bro. But man, there's so many trips that Mark and I have done through the years. And whether it's up at Lake Erie or the Allegash in Maine, if you guys don't know what the Allegash in Maine is, please look that shit up, because Mark and I, my brother John, we spent a lot of time driving. I think it was like 8 hours of driving, followed by another 4 hour paddle just to get to a campsite and go fishing for 4 days. Highly recommended. So if you guys ever want to be bit by a bunch of fucking flies and, you know, see a bunch of bears, like that's the shit to do. But anyways, you know, I look at this, the back to the team, but I look at this team and I have to say is watching Shea in this MVP season that he's doing, right, has gotten me really amped up about the future, about Shea. If all we had was Shea on this team, I would be so amped up. You know, like, just on Shea, because to me, like, Shea is enough. You know, like, people are always like, is it enough though? Is it enough? Yes, Shea is enough. But whatever else we have on the background is just an additive. It's just making our times better. Just making that role even sweeter.
Yeah, man. And I feel like there's going to be some internal competition for who's the best player on the team. I think that's going to be a really special thing, and it's going to be like the right type of competition. One of the things you see, you hear about, maybe like with the Clippers, with Blake Griffin and Chris Paul, like, and maybe even like with like Russ and Paul George when we brought him in, was like, you know, you can have players who have personalities gel, like, but getting to that point where like the players like gel on the court is really, really difficult. And maybe their personalities won't even gel. Maybe they'll operate on different orbits. And finding that ability to grow skill sets next to each other so they complement each other and they can play off of each other is really like one of the key things for the league. I've seen so many teams try to put together super teams, but really the best way to do it is to draft a super team. And you know, that's rare, but it looks like we've just kind of seen that happen.
Man, to see what happens. I like that. I wish I could make a t-shirt of that to see what happens. On the back it would say, are you a thumb person? Thumb in or thumb out? Anyways, so we get back to the reality of the competition, like Mark said. You've got J-Dub, Chet, Shea. Motherfuckers are like, I'm the best player on the team. No, I'm the best player on the team. We all know right now that Shea's got the heads of, you know, heads above the rest right now because he is 25. But J-Dub at 23, Chet at 22, these guys are coming, man. They are going to be really fighting to get to that point where they are the best player. And the thing is that dog competition, as I call it, right? It's going to get sweet. They're going to build off of each other, and it's going to be something that we're all going to sit back and enjoy for many, many years to come.
Put your ass in the canoe. Enjoy the ride.
Get it done.